When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Don't change me,
don't change me. Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Day WA. You're with Peter Vlahos on this Wednesday, the 24th day of April. It's Anzac Day Eve, a very special day for everybody involved in Australia and New Zealand tomorrow when we honour those men and women that fought for our country over the years. It'll be a special day tomorrow, but from a sporting point of view, it also will be celebrated at the MCG, where Essendon take on Collingwood. So we're looking forward to that. And I'll be speaking very shortly to Ash Brown, the editor of the AFL Record. He's got a very special edition of the AFL Record coming out. But for Apple iSports, for the fans, the hot topic is, will Harley Reid be selected in the West Coast Eagles squad? The squads will get announced later this afternoon for the match at the weekend against the Gold Coast. Certainly, the rumour mill and social media was in overdrive late yesterday and even today on whether the star number one draft pick will actually be announced in the West Coast Eagles squad for that match against Gold Coast. The general feeling is that he will be rested, so we'll have to wait and see. That's all for Apple iSports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. But straight away, let's go to the man that is the editor of the AFL Record. It is a brilliant publication, and a special one being, of course, the Anzac Day long weekend. In a sense, there's 5 days of AFL football. Ash Brown, thanks for joining us on the program.
Good to be with you, Pete.
Always a special time when it comes to everybody in Australia, Anzac Day tomorrow. And one of the most important rounds of the year kicks off at the MCG tonight. And of course, we've got the special Anzac Day edition coming out of the AFL Record. Tell us what's in store.
Well, the main features every year, main elements, Pete, of the Anzac Record every year are firstly the list, the honour roll, the list of people, league footballers, not just from VFL, but from all around Australia, who died while on active service. So we, it's our privilege to allocate a couple of pages in every edition every year to list those names. And every year we also get a bit of fresh information, one or two new people or more information about where they played their footy. So that's a really important service that we carry out. So that's, once again, a feature of the magazine. We also run a sort of an Anzac-related feature, and it's been really great this year to get a guy back on the record for this article called Ben Collins, who used to be my sort of colleague as a senior writer on the AFL Record back in the day. Ben is a wonderful football writer and historian who always manages to find interesting sort of military Anzac-related football stories. This year, it's got a West Australian flavour. He's written a piece about Private Tom Starcevic, who is a distant relation of Craig Starcevic, the Collingwood Premiership player and Brisbane Lions AFLW Premiership coach, and Brandon Starcevic, who plays for Lions. He was a ruthless but brilliant soldier for Australia, both in Egypt and then in Borneo and New Guinea during World War II. So, Ben has tracked down his story and written a really good piece about that in this week's edition of the AFL Record.
Gee, I'm looking forward to reading that. Of course, the Starcevic name, as you mentioned, emanated here from Western Australia. And Craig got his start in football playing at the club in the WAFL that I support, East Perth. And it's a very, very strong name, well entrenched in the East Perth Royals Football Club here in the WAFL. So I look forward to reading that in the Signet AFL Record to commemorate.
It's interesting, Pete. So just sort of cutting in. One of the things Ben has written about in the story is that whenever he wrote letters from home from while on service, Tom Starcevic, all he wanted to know was how Perth were going. He's a big fan of Perth in the Waffle. That was his club. So he was less interested in knowing what was happening with the family and other things, more interested in getting updates about how Perth were going.
Good on you. Well, as I say, Craig started his footy career at East Perth. But saying that, when Tom would have been following the Waffle, Perth during the 50s and 60s certainly were an incredibly powerful club in this neck of the woods. As we mentioned, it's Anzac Day tomorrow and it's traditional Essendon Collingwood match, and it's also a milestone for one of the clubs.
Yeah, Essendon are playing their 500th game of the MCG on Thursday or tomorrow afternoon against Collingwood in the annual Anzac Day game. For a while, they were quite synonymous with the MCG, Essendon, because they, you know, so many, they're such a great club in a few different eras. And then between 1992 and 99, the MCG was a home ground. They moved there. They saw the great commercial opportunity to leave Windy Hill and go to the MCG. And for a while there, they were probably the most powerful tenant club there, drawing huge crowds. This was, you know, this was Kevin Sheedy's masterstroke. So the Bombers and the MCG have always had a very strong affiliation, and we recognise that in the record this week.
Looking forward to that. It's going to be a special edition. Make sure you pick up your copy of the AFL record this weekend. As we know, it's a Saturday night game here at Optus Stadium, the match between Fremantle and the Western Bulldogs. We'll come back to that in a moment. I believe that David King, one of the greats of the Kangaroos, one of their past champions, has gone a bit hard on his former club in the record.
Yeah, I think he's talking on, I think on Jared Waitley's show the other day, we've reported that. Yeah, he's running a bit out, running out of patience a bit with his old club. You know, he wants to see a bit more progress than what they've shown so far under Alistair Clarkson. He's sort of outlined a couple of areas where he thinks they've been pretty deficient, excuse me, especially defensively, I guess, Pete. He's got ways of what happens when they don't have the footy. So he's outlined those concerns, and we've picked them up in the pages of the magazine this week.
Well, Harley Reid's been everywhere, as you know, here in Western Australia. The morning newspaper's just gone ballistic since he was drafted. And after last week's exhibition in the Derby over here and what he did to help the West Coast Eagles to an upset win, they've gone even harder and more profile this week. But the AFL record is not standing still. They're doing a bit on Harley Reid this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, so many great, such great commentary around Harley Reid in the record this week. We decided for the SEN Hot Take, which is sort of the best takes on a particular subject over a weekend. We've taken some of the SEN experts and their takes on what they saw on Saturday night. But I want to ask you this, Pete, because you're a great judge. How are his first few games tracking compared to those of Chris Judd when he first played for West Coast? I'm starting to hear the comparisons now.
Yes, they are. And it was interesting, actually. Peter Simic, the former West Coast Eagles champion, certainly before Harley played his first game, and everybody was certainly putting him up on a very high pedestal, says he'll be no Chris Judd. That was a comment that Peter Simic made. Let me tell you, Chris Judd's first 100 games, and I think that's where we need to judge it. No one has played in my time of covering football a better first 100 games than Chris Judd. So I think we just need to calm the farm. The young kid's only played 6 games. He turned, 19 less than a week ago. Let's just judge him on his first 100 games and maybe then start comparing it to Chris Judd. But saying that, Ash, he started just beautifully, and we're certainly excited about watching him every second week here at Optus Stadium.
No, he came very well, making the highlight reels over here. And I just wonder whether, you know, if West Coast can... Yeah, win a few more games and he continues to play well. I just wonder whether the AFL will roll the dice late in the season and give them a prime time game just to let everybody have a good, good look on a free to wear game at night. Let everybody have a good look at him, because one thing about West Coast at the moment is they pretty much they're very much off Broadway.
Yeah.
So you tantalise him to see how he copes with a big Friday night game late in the season.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. I know a couple of commentators in Melbourne have come out and said that what Harley Reid has done in some ways taken a lot of the pressure off the West Coast Eagles coach in Adam Simpson. So I'll wait and see what happens. But the teams haven't come out yet. It's an early edition of Sports Day WA because we've got the Richmond-Melbourne game coming through at 5 o'clock. There is talk, as we know, and came out late yesterday, that he may be rested for the trip to the Gold Coast Suns this weekend, being Harley Reid. But it kicks off tonight, doesn't it, Dash, with the Richmond-Melbourne game. We've got 5 days of AFL football across this Anzac Day period.
Yes, for those of us for whom too much football is barely enough, this is a great weekend period. A bit of introspection with the wonderful ceremony before the game. But yeah, 5 days of footy starting tonight. not sure the Tigers are going to go that well against Melbourne. They really, this is a bereft of talent. They've got a couple of players coming back tonight. I think the MCG game is really even money bet. Essendon have had a good couple of weeks. And I think right through the rest of the weekend, John Carlton on Saturday is an absolute beauty as well. So that's probably the game of the round. So that's a twilight game over here Saturday. So I think that's a great round. And speaking of great West Australians, Peter, it emerged yesterday that Dusty Fenton's going to make his return to Hawthorn on Sunday afternoon. He's going to do some sort of appearance at the Hawthorn Swans game. So after 12 years, the Hawthorn supporters are finally going to get a chance to farewell Lance Cracknell, which would be pretty special for the Hawthorn supporters.
Yeah, that's nice. It's actually a nice touch, making that rare public appearance. As we know, he didn't decide to accept the invitation in the little grand final motorcade, which is, of course, put aside for retiring AFL players. But I think the future Hall of Famer, who's down in Melbourne, I believe, and he's going to be there to see his two former clubs, Hawthorn, who got his start in his AFL career, and, of course, Sydney, where he really hit the ceiling and forged a fantastic career there. So it's great that Buddy Franklin will be there. Thanks for joining us, Ash, editor of the AFL Record. Of course, the AFL Record, you can subscribe to it. Visit aflrecord.com.au. Enjoy Anzac Day. Let's also spare a moment and get behind the real meaning behind Anzac Day. It's a special day for a lot of people tomorrow. And as we said, it culminates with that Anzac Day clash at the MCG. And they're probably forecasting almost 100,000 people there tomorrow, Ash.
Yeah, there might be a spare seat at the MCG. It always gets about 95,000. It'll be an absolutely fantastic day.
Good on you, Ash. Thanks for joining us. We'll chat to you again next week.
Look forward to it, Pete. Thank you.
Ash Brown joining us from the AFL Record. And it's all thanks to Signet Power Bank for Aussies living life on the go. Signet phone accessories go the distance, keeping you connected and protected. As Ash did mention, yes, Lance Buddy Franklin will make a rare public appearance at the MCG on Sunday when his two former sides clash to close out round seven. The AFL goal-kicking legend, as we've mentioned, has remained fairly scarce, as expected, since retiring from the game after 354 matches and 1,066 goals at the end of last year. But the future Hall of Famer will travel to Melbourne. He's there now, I believe, to be there when Hawthorn hosts Sydney, where he will attend an official function before the game and speak to the fans on the big screen at halftime. So a nice touch from Lance Buddy Franklin. Coming up on the program a bit later on, we'll be focusing on the WAFL. Speaking of Anzac Day, there was a big Anzac Day match being played at Mineral Resources Park, formerly known as Lathlane Park. It's Perth against East Perth, and I'll speak to Ross McQueen, the coach of the East Perth Football Club, in a little while. And also later in the program, we'll be having a chat about the LIV Golf Tournament that gets underway in Adelaide on Friday. And Wayne Ormsby is a local, was there and played the LIV Invitational Series when it got off the ground. He's playing in the tournament again come this weekend on the back end of some great success. He finished second in the Saudi Arabian Open. And I'll ask him the question, of course, all the money for the LIV Golf Tournament comes from Saudi Arabia, and he did so well up there in the desert nation, the Saudi Arabian Open. So Wayne Ormsby is going to join us a bit later on as well. So it's a good show coming up between now and 3. Of course, at 3 o'clock, it is the run home with Hayes and Mardo. And from 5 o'clock, AFL action as we kick off the Anzac Day fixture round at 7. And it is the match between Richmond and Melbourne. Don't need to go anywhere. Keep it right here on SENWA. All thanks to Nutrien Ag Solutions and our friends at Toolmart, the complete tool centre, where you get the right tool from the start.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia, the Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos. Great to have your company for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Looking forward to this. It starts on Friday. We've got the big LIV Golf Tournament happening in Adelaide. So I thought, how can we cover it? We'll just get a local on. Knows the Grange course very, very well. He is an Adelaide product. I think he still resides predominantly in Adelaide. We're talking about Australian professional golfer in Wade Ormsby. Wade, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us on, Peter.
What's it like? No doubt you're looking forward to it. Three rounds, starts on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I haven't experienced live golf yet, but they say it certainly is a changing of the times when it comes to the way you view and get involved in golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Live Golf League is definitely changing things in world golf. And if you're able to get over here to Adelaide and have a look at the size of the build and the event, you know, it's massive. And, really looking forward to getting out there. I think everyone that comes on property this week will get a bit of a shock for the in a good way.
You've had a couple of big events in Adelaide recently. I'm not sure you would have been in town, but we had the gather around the AFL just a couple of weekends ago, and then we've got the LIV. Which is bigger?
Well, I'm obviously involved in golf, so this one seems bigger to me, but it was a huge buzz in town with the gather around. I was here for all the matches, and it was a fantastic time of the year to be in Adelaide. It's really throwing us back on the map, you know, with the local government at the moment, and LIV's going to be a great event this week, and there's a great vibe around the city at the moment. So I'm looking forward to getting amongst it and, seeing so many people around the Grange Golf Club.
I followed you actually in the tournament just completed in Saudi Arabia. We'll come back to that in a moment because it was a fantastic tournament for you. You played so well. But tell us about when you played in the inaugural LIV Golf Invitational Series at the request and invitation of the great white shark, Greg Norman. What was that like for you?
Yeah, well, it's obviously a turbulent time in golf there, but I took the opportunity to go over to LIV, and it was fantastic to be part of it from the start, especially with the CEO and Greg Norman, you know, someone I always looked up to and admired and everything that he'd done. So, it was awesome. So the first event there in London was amazing, and 8 events that first season. So to have Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith join us midway through the year, or then me join them basically in their team, was really cool to have that Australian vibe out there. So it's great to be a part of. I'm so happy and proud and whatever else that I'm part of this show out here, and I'm really looking forward to whatever the future holds in me with LIV, but it's really cool.
It's interesting. I had a mate of mine who went over for the Super Bowl, and they had the LIV tournament playing in Las Vegas before the Super Bowl, and he was a guest on the 18th hole, and he was there in the marquee, and there were hundreds and thousands of people around the 18th. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. There was cheering. There were people, throwing drinks in the air when the golfers hold the end of their round in the 18th. It's quite amazing, isn't it? What was it like for you? Did you get involved in something like that when you were part of it?
Yeah, no. Absolutely. It's definitely a changing in the tide. You know, it's golf is definitely kind of needed to be kind of come down in the age demographic that it was focused at. But it's for everyone, you know. It's kind of all different golf fans, and there's a different place with all the different platforms they've got around the facility. So the birdie shack gets the most rowdiest. So if you're around there at the end of the day when a bit of amber nectar's been consumed, it gets pretty rowdy. So, it's definitely... it's definitely a different vibe on the golf course. There's music, the teams event, the colours, everything. It's just a bit more chilled, a bit more relaxed, and it's not so stiff like it has been. And I've seen it all through my career. You know, I'm in the later part of my career, so I've definitely seen it from both sides of the fence. But I'm really enjoying what LIV's all about, and it's definitely the future in golf, and it's going to open a few eyes, and I understand a few people are going to take a little bit of time to warm up to it, but it's a really cool product.
You're still a young man. You only turned 44 last month, I believe, so you've still got a long way to go. Don't worry about that.
Thank you.
What about your thoughts on a question I'll pose you regarding the fact there isn't enough tournaments and players like Cameron Smith have maybe slipped down in the rankings because he's not playing as much as he would have been when he was on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I think that's probably requires a double answer, that one. So the first reason, they don't have world ranking and points attached to these LIV events for a number of reasons, which I probably won't get into, but that's been a pretty spicy topic in itself. So that's the reason guys are tumbling down the schedule. It's not about the amount of events that Cameron Smith is playing, because he only would have played about 20 when he's on the PGA Tour, including the majors, where now he's playing 14 LIV events, playing the Australian Open, Australian PGA, that's 16 plus the four majors, so he's at 20 anyway. It's just the fact that he's not getting world ranking points awarded for the live events, so therefore he's falling down the world ranking because of that. So the type of golf Cam's playing at the moment, he'd be easier top four player in the world. So anyway, it will work itself out in time. It's just a power struggle there at the top of world golf at the moment. But I know I can't really speak for Cam, but just looking at him from the outside, I know he's very happy playing golf out here and like the other guys that have made the switch across to live golf.
Mm. Well, it's a nice segue here because we know that Saudi Arabian money has been invested in live golf. We know that. That's as plain as day. And, of course, you're in Saudi Arabia just last week and you delivered your best result in more than a year with a runner-up finish on the Asian Tour. You must have been delighted. And just looking at your rounds, rounds are 66, 69. 68, and he came storming home with a 64. You must have been delighted.
Yeah, it's nice to be in some good form. I just had 4 weeks off at home, so I was practicing well before that. I was hitting the ball nice and clean, and to go over there on a new golf course and to have that result was really good, especially before this week, where the week I really want to play well. So, it was great to be in Riyadh last week, and absolutely the Saudi investment in live golf and the game of golf has been phenomenal, and we're so lucky that they are putting into the sport that we love. So
they're throwing a lot of money at sport now, aren't they, the Saudi Arabians?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've been in plenty of other sports, but I guess Paris-Dakar Rally there, or the Dakar that's called, and Formula One and football, and now they're going to keep on coming. You know, they obviously see opportunity there in sport, and it's great that they're part of golf.
Well done, and congratulations on the Saudi Arabian Open. In that last round, you hit 16 of 18 greens, 7 under 64. Do you reckon you'll be going around the Adelaide Golf Course with those sort of numbers over the next 3 days, starting on Friday?
Yeah, the course pumped out some pretty low scores last year, but we had quite a bit of rain over the weekend, which was gathered around last year just before the tournament, which softens the golf course up and makes it a lot more vulnerable to low scores. So, but I just played this morning. Greens are definitely firm. If the rain stays away this week, I think it's going to get pretty firm and bouncy out there and tricky. So that's going to definitely lead to higher scoring. But no, it's still there to be had if you can play good enough. But the wind and the firmness of the green are the defence of these Australian-style golf courses. So you get any one or two of those combinations, then it's going to defend this place pretty well.
And Wade, before we let you go, what about the standard of golf we'll see? And who are some of the players that we should be looking out for when the tournament gets underway?
I'll give you a few here. So I reckon Joaco Niemann, he is a serious player, young bloke, Chilean. We've got Sergio Garcia, amazing ball striker, Serge. Bryson DeChambeau, he smokes. It's worth watching him. You've got Cameron Smith, obviously. Dustin Johnson. There's so many guys there. John Rahm, new on the league this year, along with Tyrrell Hatton. Phil Mickelson. There's so many guys there. Patrick Reed and Anthony Kim. It's great to see him back in the game. It looks like he's loving his golf again. Brooks Koepka. So there's so many guys there. That the field's stacked. So live golf's getting stronger and stronger.
And a nice filter of Australians are sprinkled through the groups as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so that Ripper GC team. You know, you got Lucas Herbert, Cam Smith, Mark Leishman and Matty Jones. They're all stoked to be down here this week. There's nothing better than playing in front of your home crowd. So I think there'll be plenty of Ripper fans out here this week and plenty of Ripper merchandise getting pumped out of the merch tent. So it's going to be a cool sight. Now, this place looks rammed when you get kind of quite a few people in here, so it's going to be nice to see those scenes come Friday.
Good on you, Wade. Thanks for joining us. Good luck for Live tournament in Adelaide. Congratulations again on that result in Saudi Arabia. Thanks, they reckon momentum is a good thing in sport, and you've got momentum going into Live, and we wish you the best of luck.
Love that. Thanks, buddy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Don't change me up.
Don't change a thing. Welcome back to Sports Day WA. You're with Peter Vlahos. All thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre. They've been serving WA for over 45 years, Ian Peterson and the team. And you're from the Perth metro area, there's a Toolmart near you. And if you're in the country area, of course, you can always order from Toolmart as well. And also thanks to Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers. Wherever you may be listening across Western Australia, I know there's a lot of East Perth footy fans. There's one talking to you right now. And tomorrow, a special game at Mineral Resources Park, formerly known as Lathlane Park. It is the Perth Demons taking on the East Perth Royals. And what's intriguing about the Waffle at the moment, there are five teams that have won two games out of three so far. And for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil, let's get the good oil on the East Perth Royals. And their coach, Ross McQueen, joins us. Ross, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Pete. Nice to be chatting.
Yeah, I think it's the first time we've chatted so far this season, so I must congratulate you on your two-year extension at the East Perth Football Club that was announced on the eve of the season. So you must be pretty happy with that, and it's a case of building more in what you've already laid the foundations for.
Thanks for that, Pete. You know, it was nice for the club to offer me that, and obviously I jumped at it. We had a good year last year in terms of laying some foundations. We obviously think we can and need to get better, but it was nice for the club to give us a bit of faith into myself and the coaching group that we've got. So far, we're going okay.
How much work is there still to be done to get the East Perth Football Club, and in particular the league side, to where you want them to be?
Like all coaches, we'd all think and expect us to have a fair bit more growth. It's hard to put a number on it, but I think obviously last year we won 6 out of 18, so there's still a number of wins. There's only 2/3 of the season that we won in terms of results, so you probably need to be winning in a perfect world around 15 out of the 18 games to think you're really a strong chance of winning the premiership at the end of the year. So we're probably striving to. But I reckon, who knows, it could happen this year, but we'll certainly hope that within this year and next year that we're in a position that we are strongly contending to win.
Opening games against South Fremantle and Swan Districts, good wins there, and you just faltered against Peel Thunder last weekend, and many that went to the game suggested you had opportunities to maybe even grab the win there.
I think in most games you do too, Pete. Look, we probably thought we had some opportunities where we could have put Peel under a bit more pressure on the scoreboard, but to their credit, they we restricted them to, I think, 5 goals in the first 3 quarters, and they found a way to kick 5 in the last, which is obviously some improvement on our end is required, but well done to the Peel guys to find a way to score and break us down a little bit. So we had our chances, but you know the best team always generally wins a game of football, and we weren't that team on that day.
You only kicked 8 goals last week. Is there any concern in the ability to kick winning scores, even though you did win the first 2 games of the season?
No, I don't think so. I think that was one of our strengths last year. I think even this year, prior to the Peel game, we were finding ways to score. I think if we can get the ball in our front half, I think our conversion rate, getting it in the front half, is probably the best in the competition at the moment. But the challenge is getting your hands on the ball often enough and for long enough and get it in the front half. So we believe that we've got the ability to kick a winning score. Like in a perfect world, you're kicking 15 goals, 10 from 100 points. That's what we're striving to do. But yeah, realistically, it's a challenge to do that every week. But we think we've got the players who can do it and confidence in the style of play that will allow us to do that.
Richard Graham was a great player for East Perth. His son's down there now. He's had a few injury concerns over the last season or so. I believe he played reserves last week, got amongst it, I think kicked maybe 3 goals. Is he in the reckoning to return, or does he need a bit more time, maybe at the seconds, to kick a few more goals before being considered?
Oh, no, he's getting close. We've got high hopes for Tom, a bit like everyone else, and he understands that he's got to get his body right, and a bit of continuity in that is important. Obviously, tomorrow would be nice to have him run around tomorrow, but Tom won't play tomorrow, but he's not far away. So we think another week or so. It's a bit of a complication. We've got West Coast in our next game, so if he doesn't play league, then he doesn't get another game of football, so you lose a bit of continuity and is 2 weeks before he plays again. But no, we hope Tom continues to go well, and tomorrow in the reserves, presents well, competes hard. He doesn't always have to kick a big bag of goals, but if his body's good and he's showing good form, then he's certainly not too far away.
Is Angus Shoemaker available after, of course, incurring concussion? Is he going to be considered, or is there still a bit of time between now and the start of the game tomorrow to consider whether he plays or not?
No, Angus won't play tomorrow. If he was on an AFL list, he would be allowed to play tomorrow. They have different guidelines about the, I think it's 12 or 14 days they have. But Angus falls into the 21-day waffle conditions. So unfortunately for Angus, if he were playing on Saturday and not tomorrow, he would play. But because it's tomorrow, he is unavailable to play.
That was going to be my next question. How many days has it been? So you're saying he just falls short by a couple of days?
Correct. Yeah. If he was, like I said, if it was a Saturday game, he's been good. He woke up the next day after the incident a couple of weeks ago feeling really good, but going through the process, and he's been building, and yeah, he's going to miss it by 2 days.
Mm. How much did you miss him last week?
Oh, any time you've got a player who finished in the top five of the Sandover medal and the top three of your best and fairest, you miss him. But Angus was really good form the first game, and then what he was building into the Swans game, but he wasn't there. So we thought we had enough of what we could do, but unfortunately, people were too good.
Scott Jones is such an important player for East Perth, played really well in the first two rounds and probably soundly beaten against Peel Thunder last week. No doubt you're hoping he returns to his best against the Demons tomorrow.
Scott's an important part of our team, 100%. He's a big man. He gives our mids a good opportunity. He's finding a way to mark the ball a bit more around the ground, which gives you an avenue to move the ball. Last week I thought young Noble, he certainly doesn't get any smaller. He's a big, tall kid, young Noble, and I thought he did a really good job. Scott was okay, but I'd expect him to bounce back hard tomorrow, and look forward to seeing how he goes in the next couple of weeks.
West Coast are better, Perth are better. You're taking on the Demons tomorrow, who have had their best start to a season for a long time. What do you expect from Peter German's outfit?
We've been watching them a bit. Obviously, they've had a strong start to the year. They've recruited well in the last couple of years, but I think they've also been able to bring on their young players. They've got four or five of their Colts from last year's program playing in their senior program and standing up really well. They'll be well disciplined. They're moving the ball. They're getting the ball in the front half and getting plenty of inside 50s at the moment. So they've been quite aggressive with their ball movement without taking too many risks, and their backs have been standing up. So we expect a pretty strong contest. They've got some big bodies around the midfield. Their wings are in good form. Regan Clark and I think it's Austin Davis out in the wings. They're holding good width and giving them plenty of run. So, we understand it's going to be a challenge at Minerals.
It should be an absolute beauty. Certainly looking forward to it. And as we know, when you get to the middle of the season and the wet weather kicks in and some of the players just get those niggling injuries, depth is so important. Are you comfortable that East Perth have the depth to get through the season?
Yeah, I think we're in a better spot than we were previously, Peter. Like, I think that's over the last two or three years, even prior to myself, we've been building that depth. But a great start for our reserves. They've won two out of the first three games as well. And there's several guys there putting their hand up and putting pressure on the senior side. So if our senior side doesn't perform, then we're very comfortable. We've got players that will come in and play well. So we expect as all teams do, you pick up a few injuries that we should be able to cover most of them. There's always going to be perhaps that one or two extra injuries you just think, how am I going to replace that one? But we're in a much better spot now than I think we were two or three years ago.
And finally, the WAFLW competition. East Perth are in their second season there, and the ladies recorded their first win as the East Perth Football Club in the WAFLW just the other week. It must have been a special moment for them.
Yeah, it was great. The Doughton for Jenna and the coaching group and all the players, it was terrific to see them down at Peel have a good, strong win. They were playing before us, so it was great that the boys were down there and were able to see the excitement and things that the girls all had for the football and the way they went about it. But it's never an easy task coming into a competition when you're trying to catch up and so many clubs are so established, like your Claremonts and East Fremantles. But our girls are working really hard, and it was terrific for them to get that result, and their football's better. I think your last Jenna, she'll tell you that they're scoring more and they're their style of play is improving, and that's all you can hope for. But it was great to see them get that win a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no, congratulations to them. And good luck tomorrow. I'm looking forward to heading down there, actually. I haven't got a program tomorrow because of the AFL commitments, but they can be pushed to the side. I'll go see my beloved East Perth take on Perth. 4 o'clock, it gets underway tomorrow at Mineral Resources Park. Go get them, Ross, and good luck.
Cheers, Pete. Appreciate it, and I'll catch you tomorrow.
Ross McQueen there, the coach of the East Perth Footy Club. All thanks to Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold-pressed in northern Victoria. We'll take a break. This is Sports Day WA. Back with more in a moment.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Yes, coming to the end of the program now for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. The good oil is on a Australian cricketer, West Australian guy, whose nickname Oil, that's one of his nicknames. Marcus Stoinis made a brilliant century, his first in 9 seasons of playing in the Indian Premier League, to carry the Lucknow Super Giants to victory over the Chennai Super Kings. Now facing Chennai's daunting 4 for 212, Lucknow lost to Quentin Cock early, but then Stoinis came in, took his time, playing himself in, and then accelerated to pummel the host for 124 not out of 63 balls. It's his second highest T20 score, eclipsed only by the astonishing 147 not out he made for the Melbourne Stars against the Sydney Sixers back in January 2020. Here are some of the highlights.
It's this one in front, back-to-back boundaries for Marcus Stoinis.
They know they've got the accelerator down. This is a beast of a shot.
It has to be one of the bigger sixes you will see.
Bang! Six off the first ball. Bang! Straight down the ground. As easy as. Just puts it away on the onside, finds the boundary. And it's a terrific win here for the Lucknow Super Giants.
It is nice to get in early and build an innings. Yeah, it's not just go, go, go. I guess it was ebb and flowing the whole innings. There were some bowlers that we wanted to target, some that we probably played more precautionary against. And you always want to keep that balls and run rate in control, I guess. Because for a while there, I felt like I couldn't hit a boundary. So, it ebbs and flows. You try to keep it in control.
Yes, the T20 World Cup now less than 6 weeks away. It was a nice timely moment for the West Australian to find form, because previously that he'd struggled a bit, 130 runs at just 21.67 in the campaign. That update, the good oil for Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. We'll wrap it up after the break here on Sports Day WA.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Don't change the air.
Don't change the air. Yes, great to have you back. Sports Day WA almost done for another week. Tomorrow being Anzac Day, we've got live AFL action, so there's no Sports Day. I'll be back again on Monday from 5. Just the latest sports headlines for Tyre Power's power-up sale, which is now on. Just through, Tom Barras will miss the game for the West Coast Eagles against the Gold Coast Suns on Sunday. His appeal at the AFL Tribunal has been upheld, and the Eagles have come out and said they will not appeal that decision at the tribunal. So Tom Barras is out. He will not play in the match against the Gold Coast Suns up there at Metricon on Sunday. So that's just breaking now, thanks to Tyre Power's power-up sale. On the other hand, the game that we'll be broadcasting, looking forward to it on SENWA with Jimmy Williams and also Scotty Cummings, is the match involving the Western Bulldogs and the Fremantle Dockers. And how will the Fremantle Dockers bounce back after a disappointing derby? Luke Beveridge spoke about Jamara Ugle-Hagan and where he's at and how long he could be possibly out of the game.
Oh, it's unlikely to play this week. I mean, just we make sure he's okay, Theo, and some processing a few things. He's on a personal level, and us supporting him, so we might not play this week at all. So I can't really give you much more than that. He's back in today for the first sort of full day. He will train and get him going again.
So there you go. That's the latest with Jamara Ugle-Hagan. He won't play in the game against the Fremantle Dockers. Saturday night, we'll be there, as I mentioned, SENWA. Make sure you tune it in. Peter Vlahos, Jimmy Williams and Scott Cummings with you. That sports update, thanks to Tyre Power. Visit your local Tyre Power store today. For free tyre safety inspection, there are over 50 stores across WA. Thanks for the week. Respect Anzac Day and the reason why we certainly reflect on the men and women that serve so proudly for our country. And of course, in the afternoon, enjoy the Anzac Day spectacular from the MCG. Thanks for your time. Have a great rest of the week. Have a great Anzac Day. And Sports Day returns at 5 o'clock on Monday. Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Jimmy.